Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Well, the corn, soybeans, and the wheat all rallied at the Chicago Board of Trade this week, and it appears farmers have rewarded the market. Should that be the case? We'll ask the question today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities from Champaign, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Last week, the wheat market took the lead in Chicago, and while we watched the corn and beans intensely this week, July wheat futures posted the biggest gain, finishing above $5 a bushel. This is one milepost where our analysts have suggested making additional new crop wheat sales. Should that be the case? We'll start with you, Clayton Pope.
Well, I would sure think so. I think the realization hit the market early this last week that wheat had gotten awful cheap compared to corn and beans, corn especially, and as such it kind of played catch-up to this week. But I think values like that you just can't turn your back on no matter what kind of question there is as far as acreage or crop conditions.
Clayton Pope, of course, with Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois. Matt Bennett is with Windsor Grain.
Yeah, I'd go along with Clayton. I think that these prices are pretty attractive. You know, I think that the wheat, there's a lot up in the air with the wheat crop, but I think we've seen, even with basis levels the way they are, I think we've seen a lot worse prices in wheat than what we're seeing right now. And guys are having a chance to move some wheat at $4 plus, even with very weak basis levels. So I would say maybe make some new crop wheat sales. If you're holding on to any old wheat, I'd get rid of it.
And Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities?
I'd probably prefer to do it in a put scenario, using some kind of put, because the guys in southern Indiana, Illinois, we talked to had some extreme cold weather, and it's hard to say in northern Indiana where we are. We've seen an experienced winter kill, so I got some guys down there. Their wheat looks really brown and dead. You just don't know about that, so we'd prefer to use a put option strategy or some kind of sale like that.
Taking a look at the numbers in Chicago as they finished for the wheat pit, the March contract at a high this week of $4.90.5, their low at $4.62.75. Their settlement price up 16.25 at $4.84.25. July futures at $5.08.75 finished 17.5 cents higher. Which of the three crops, wheat, corn, or soybeans, are you most comfortable with making new crop sales, and why? And the answer can be none of the above if you prefer.
I'd say after this week, getting fall corn above the $4 mark, I'd like to see a guy at least make a sale or two. I've got several clients that haven't sold a bushel, which is hard for some people to believe, but I guess I'm one of them. I raised corn and I hadn't sold any. I think $4 is a good place to start. I think this summer could be very interesting in the bean market if we have the kind of acreage switch that I think we may have, and I'm holding off on bean sales. I think that $8 could look pretty cheap down the road.
And I want to go to beans, but I want to ask very quickly, did you make corn sales?
I sold a very small portion of corn yesterday, my start. And I said if $4 is my worst sale, I'm going to be smiling big time this fall.
Well, I did today, Todd, so I guess you can – I'll turn red today and say, yeah, I did. So there's really no wrong answer here, I think might be the thing. And Matt's made a good point. I mean, part of the reality of all this is, you know, guys we work with is getting them to do it, you know, and that's the toughest part of this whole discussion this year, you know.
It's kind of fun to have two brokers, or we have one who runs an elevator, one who's a broker, but both of those guys, Matt and Chuck, are both farmers as well, so it's kind of fun
to
have you.
Clayton critique us both.
I want you to know, in fair disclosure, I do owe 9 tillable acres. So. I haven't sold any yet, but I'm about ready to.
You going corn or beans on those, Clayton?
Corn.
Yeah, you know, I have 11 tillable acres, and it's all cash rented. That's the, my brothers decide what that cash rent's going to be for the year too. So,
oh boy,
I wait till Christmas to find out what the check's going to be when that comes in. Let's talk. I really do. Let's talk about soybeans. Let's talk about that bean market for just a bit. This is a crop that everybody says and has said for a couple of years has no real good reason to rally given the big supply in the marketplace. So here are some quick questions, or maybe not so quick. Can the outside investment community really have pumped enough money into this bean market to make it go higher, and why would that happen? What I don't understand is why these companies don't impact the market more like a day trader. They really aren't trading price, so somebody must be pushing that market up in hopes of reaping a reward from their entrance into the marketplace, or is it just that they're buying so many beans that it creates an artificial short supply? And in the long run, doesn't this mean that even if the futures market stays above $8, that the cash market has to crash at some point? So is there an artificial high in the bean market that won't be reflected eventually in the cash market is really the question.
That has to be the longest question in history.
The longest short question. But yeah.
I'd have to say all of the above. And by that I mean that, they bought an awful lot. And could they have bought enough to have brought the prices up? Yeah, I think so, because it seems like as they brought it up here and they've really scared away a lot of players, I think. I mean, the volatility right now is incredible. Early on in this rally, I think you had, more willing sellers from the farmer standpoint than you do now, because people now, they look back and they've made their sales so much below where we are now that if they are going to sell more, it's going to be in smaller and smaller quantities. So I think the funds, their incremental longs as they add on to their position, they're doing it in smaller increments, yet they're still having, the same or even a magnified market effect because there's less resistance to that buying. The question in my mind is, as it's leapfrogged its way up here, when does it end? And obviously it will at some point. I think, the tables could turn fairly quickly because, if and when they do become sellers, there's not going to be that many willing buyers to buy it from them. So if and when, this thing does turn around, I think it could be a pretty swift, nasty decline, even, regardless of how long-term it is. I think it could be pretty quick. But I think that they are largely responsible for it, and I think for those reasons.
I think until you get a good grasp on acreage, it's going to be pretty tough for the bean market to divorce itself from the corn market. I think if you look at a 2-to-1 ratio, beans to corn, that's completely out of whack. And, I just feel like if we have, say, 6, 7, 8 million acres go out of the bean market, then we could drastically change the balance sheet domestically. Therefore, I feel like I'm kind of holding off. Can it crash? Yeah, I think it can. Can it crash without the corn market crashing? I don't think it can yet.
Farmers are bullish beans. You're bullish beans. But should they be is the question. Friday afternoon, Bruce Bostard told us during the 2 o'clock closing market report that he was fearful farmers would have 2 years' worth of beans to put on the market this fall. You think he might be right?
Yeah, they're pretty tight holders. I think the structure of the market showing is something, though, and the name the futures market implies it. Where's the strongest price? It's in the back end. And Matt's point is well taken. I mean, if we cut the acres, we can change that dramatically on what we have sitting in this seed a year from now. Bean carryover could be pretty tight. And world appetite for bean continues to be strong. Plus, our exports are running about 23% ahead of the pace. So we're using them up. And I think one of the things that maybe we've got to look at, the corn buyers kind of missed out here and didn't get the corn bought as this market took off. I think a bean buyer is willing to take possession, looking down the road, saying, hey, if this changes into beans like corn did, I want to get some possession, trying to get those beans bought somehow, whether it be on paper or if I can't get them from the farmer's hands.
Okay, so if this is the case, why have we heard so often? We've heard very often that 2008 is going to be the year for the bean market. So the question is, will we end up with 3 years' worth of soybeans at some time that have to come onto the marketplace? Will they hold on that long, do you think?
Well, part of it's that acreage issue. If you cut those acres, Todd, it really changes the dynamics of this market and the carryover. So yield and acres, which we'll know more in, 30, 40 days, but you've caused concern on the grain buyer and the bean buyer because, again, if you change the dynamics, it's totally different a year from now.
You know, Darryl Good told us this week in a conversation we had Wednesday morning, about the fundamental supply of the bean market. It's very large, and large enough that when he did the numbers, he said you could cut bean acres by 12 million acres and still have enough beans to meet the demand. Are we really looking at that kind of bullish scenario in the bean market? I'm having trouble believing that it can change that much.
Given normal production, though.
Given normal production.
Right. And I think our point is if you cut 7-8 million acres out of the bean crop, and then you come in and you have the type of weather that, you know, quite frankly, many people are talking about right now, maybe somewhat of a wet spring, which could add acres of beans. But if you do have the dry summer on top of it, and it's very drastic, I think the volatility in these markets is going to be extreme, which could lend, you know, precedence to the bean market could explode. I think if you have that many less acres of beans and you have a very strong corn market to boot.
Okay. Our farmers are obviously going to stay bullish, the bean market. Farmers tend to want to hold on to the bean market. Clayton, tell me what your view of the marketplace is. Do you see it differently?
No. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a bean bull now by any means, but I think we're – I mean, everybody's bullish now because, let's face it, we've just gone straight up. It's just been a rocket shot, including this last week, with the exception of Friday. And I think to some extent that, you know, the fund buying that we're seeing, I don't want to make the mistake of assuming it's all based on valid fundamental analysis because, let's face it, most of the fund money out there running this thing up I don't think has anything to do with fundamental analysis, or certainly not very much. It's a trend-following game. At some point, that's going to change, and I think it'll be amazing how quickly attitudes can change and farmer holding or selling patterns can change. And I think that will happen. So I think that, you know, we're all kind of, you know, riding the wave right now, and as such, sentiment is amazingly bullish. But I think it's very possible that we're setting ourselves up for a buy the rumor, sell the fact. Once this acreage number uncertainty is behind us, almost regardless of what the numbers come out to be, I think that this market is pricing itself, factoring in this uncertainty. Once that uncertainty horizon is passed or reached, then I think this market will exhale. And then to go significantly higher than whatever we're at that point, and who knows, maybe it was Friday, at that point I think it's going to be strictly dependent on weather.
Part of the answer to the producer, though, is we talked about earlier today, Todd, there's some extremely cheap put options. So you can be bullish and positive and hold your beans, but you can spend 10 or 20 cents and lock in some floors that we would have died for a year ago and play it that way. I don't think Matt, I'll let him speak for himself, but we're not saying to sit here naked, do nothing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm the same way in the corn market, too. I you know, if a guy is as bullish as what some of our clients are, hey, go ahead and buy yourself a put or sell $4 corn and buy yourself a $20 call option. You know, you can participate in the market. I wouldn't just sit out there and do nothing. But as far as the beans go, I like the idea of buying a put. You know, leave the upside open, buy yourself a put. If the market crashes, you're protected.
March beans, by the way, had a high this week of 7.91. They're low at 7.62.5. They were up 11.25 from last week at $7.78.25. November beans, these are the composites, so they're the overnight trades. 8.30.75, up 14.25 from last Friday's final trade in the November beans. March oats this week up 2 cents, 2.50.5. The March corn, 4.35.25 on the high side. The low for the week, day trade and overnight both, 4.13.25. March settled at $4.30.25. They were up 13.25 from last week. December futures at 4.20.75 were up 7.5 cents. Now onto the corn. Corn futures made new contract highs this week. One of our analysts, okay, it's the technician among the crew, Dan Zwicker, says his cycle work puts one more week into the up move before it settles back. Of course, that would be well before the March 30 prospective plantings report is released by the Department of Agriculture. The question is this. Farmers, we heard this week, rewarded the corn market with old and new crop sales. If the opportunity arises again next week or some prime time prior to the report, would you urge them to add to both old and new crop sales?
I certainly would. I think up at these levels here, I don't really see the logic in holding on to cash, although it's obviously served a person well so far. But I think that with each cent that we go higher, there's just more and more downside risk, and I think a person would be better served with a call position rather than you know, the cash position. So at least you've defined your downside risk. But beyond that, I think for right now, I'd be reluctant, as attractive as these prices are, I have a hard time myself justifying getting beyond 25% or certainly beyond a third sold on new crop. As far as cash sales go, I'm all for doing more on paper, but I'd be afraid to get more sold than that because there's just so much uncertainty from every angle of this thing.
When you push cash and fall corn above $4, it was an exciting week. We bought a ton of corn this week. And, it's hard to argue if a guy comes in and says, you think I ought to sell corn. My answer to that is, how is it a bad sale? If I've got a guy that raised 170 bushel corn last year, how's $4 a bad sale? I don't think it can be construed as a bad sale any way you look at it. So, I'm with Clayton, though. I don't want to get too aggressive on my new crop sales, but I would like to have a fair amount of protection in place before the March 31st report, because I do think that we could have a very surprising acreage number March 31st.
The other component of this is the crop insurance values are being calculated. We'll know that answer next week. And, guys, if you're going to take those kind of CRC or RA-type policies, you've got to reward us with some sales to make that insurance pay.
And speaking of the crop insurance, at next Tuesday's All Day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House, all of you folks, I think, will be there. So will Gary Schnitke, ag economist at the University of Illinois. He'll go through the crop insurance calculator that you can visit online at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Just one of the many things that happens at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting. You're invited. Starts at 7:30 a.m. Central, 8:30 a.m. in the Eastern time zone. It's absolutely free with the exception of the meal at the noon hour, and that's $8.75. We hope to see you over at the Beef House. Speaking of beef, this is the way the numbers finished at the Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle this week, $94.35 on the top. The low at $92. They settled at $94.17.5. We're up 27.5 cents from last week. March feeder cattle at $99.32.5. We're off $8.50 from last week. April lean hog, $67.95 on the high. The low at $66.22.5. They settled down $1.75 at $66.75. And the Feb bellies at $107.10. They finished the week up $6.57.5 from last Friday's close. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Roy Huckabee.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Illinois moved from the dead of winter to the edge of winter this week as temperatures warmed and the snowpack started to recede over central and northern parts of the state. While temperatures this week were substantially warmer than the first 2 weeks of the month, they were in fact close to normal for this time in February. Highs typically run in the mid to upper 30s north to the upper 40s south, and lows generally in the 20s. The snow covering central and northern Illinois much of the week definitely helped to modify temperatures, or we would have been warmer. The depth of snow on the ground did gradually diminish as the combination of above freezing temperatures, bright sun, and brisk winds had their effect. After last Saturday's Clipper system raced through Illinois, there was no precipitation this week. The Clipper left another 2 to 4 inches of snow on top of the deep snow remaining from the February 13th storm. Precipitation this month is normal to above across the southern third of Illinois, and then falls off to about 60% of normal toward the northwest. That could all change this weekend as a strong storm system intensifies in the central plains, heads east, and then recurs through the Midwest. That will likely add to precipitation totals throughout the state. Once that storm is out of the picture, we should have another week of normal to above normal temperatures. Another late winter, early spring storm will likely affect Illinois and the Midwest next weekend. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain right here in Windsor, Illinois. Our guest today is Roy Huckabee with 25 years of experience at the Lynn Group. Roy is the principal of the firm and part of the management team overseeing much of the company's day-to-day operations. He's the director of market research for all of the Lynn Group's commodity sectors, authoring the daily Grain Fundamental Wires. Roy, thanks for being with us today.
I'm glad to be there, Todd.
After the bell today, Doane released its acreage estimate. It says corn farmers will put in 89.8 million acres of corn. That's up 14.7% from last year. And just 66.1 million bean acres, down from 75.7. Have you pushed the pencil on acreage yet?
I'm looking for about an 8.2 increase in corn acres. I find that people have adjusted their numbers from bigger numbers earlier because of logistics involved. We're having problems with fertilizer costs. We're having problems with seed corn availability, things of that nature.
And how about on the soybeans? What do you see?
Well, I think that the beans are going to come down less than people think. We're stealing acres from everything else. Cotton, especially hay ground. We're talking about losing maybe 3 million acres of hay ground. The problem here, from my perspective, is that the world demand and supply is pretty well balanced, so that if you steal acres from anything, all the prices react. And I think that the attention to corn has been brought about because of the move to create energy out of corn, and that's the one that's right on the surface. But if you go look forward after you've fixed this problem and you grow enough corn, we hope, to satisfy this burgeoning domestic demand, that you find yourself short again on wheat and hay and soybeans and sorghum, and all the prices tend to gyrate up to keep up with corn.
And so then you would be friendly the bean market longer term?
Oh, I think that fundamentally it's hard to get too bullish beans, but on the long-term charts, as close above 750 this week opens up the markets to a pretty big rally in beans. My counts to the upside have been around 805, 810 on the front month. My counts in the back months were 839, and we got there pretty quick. We've been long meal for a while, and that pretty much riding the back of corn. If you look at the price of meal versus the price of corn, it got pretty cheap this winter, and so our meal demand has been pretty dynamic.
Roy, you mentioned that you thought the acres might come from somewhere, other places, cotton and hay, over to beans. What kind of bean acreage are you looking for? Do you think?
I'm looking for about a 4 million acre drop, maybe 4.5. You're going to add a couple million acres behind soft red wheat in the Gulf, or in the Delta states, and you'll pick up some bean acres in the northern plains from spring wheat.
Roy, talking about the switch on corn, you're talking 8.2. If you look at that, what kind of price would you say that we might be looking at if we have any sort of weather problems? I know most people are factoring in maybe 6 to 7 or 8. I've heard a lot of people talk over a 10 switch. You know, I think in areas it's going to be pretty dynamic what the switch is, but say it is 8.2.
Well,
what are you looking to do on new crop sales with corn, given the possibilities?
Let me address the regional switch before we talk about price, because you're in an area that's going to have some farmers do 20-25% more corn acres. When I travel across the areas where I do presentations for farm groups, Illinois stands out. And your Champaign crowd, when I was down there in December, wanted to argue with me vehemently that my corn acres weren't big enough. And when I go to Iowa, the guys want to argue with me vehemently that my acres aren't big enough. But when you get outside of the areas where you have big yields in corn, doesn't compete quite as well. Mm. So I can understand people in Illinois talking about a 10 million acre increase. And we've gone through this gyration where back 5 weeks ago, you had people talking about 12 to 15. And it kind of got stupid. But I think the logistics of growing more corn, you have to remember that you got to have more dryer capacity, you got to have more trucking capacity, you got to have another combine, you got another planter to get it put in the ground. Just the logistics of doing it, more people to drive trucks, growing 180 or 200 bushels of corn an acre is a lot different than growing 50 or 60 beans per acre.
I have a question for you then. Have you assigned values percentage or acreage-wise, one of the two, to Illinois and Iowa? So is it 900,000, which would be 9.5%, 9.7% or something like that for Illinois?
I think that both Iowa and Illinois farmers are going to go to a corn-corn-bean rotation. So instead of being 50% corn, 50% beans, we're going to get to where they're, you know, 66% corn and 34% beans. That's what I think will happen.
This
I think
year
that'll max
year?
Out your switch. And I think you do part of that this year and you do part of it again next year.
And I would agree with Roy, being from Indiana. The guys in Indiana and Ohio just didn't get the tillage done and just are not prepared to make that big of a switch. And we would hear the same thing from other states. So I'd have to agree with Roy on that kind of switch and why.
So well, the question then is, should we really be talking about acreage or should we talk about bushels? And what do you see out of those bushels as opposed to out of acreage?
Well, I think that you're going to handle 13 billion bushels of corn next year between your carryout and what you produce. The problem with that is you're going to use everything you produce. Heaven help us if we don't produce 12 billion bushels of corn, because we're going to use it. We're going to try to use it. If I look at the demand picture for ethanol, most of the plants that are running today have a hedged operation that they'll continue to run through the summer. The problem comes with the people that won't come on until the summer, and we have a lot of plants that come on in the last half of the year, and they weren't up and operating in time to get a lot of hedging done in front of these operations. So if you look at the margins on ethanol, we can still cover variable cost for a new plant, but it's pretty difficult to hedge anything profitably past May or June. And so I think that the price action in corn has caught a lot of people not quite prepared enough. Beans caught a lot more not prepared. And that's why the bean market has kept up with corn. The corn rally started on the fear of not getting enough acres and this burgeoning ethanol demand. And the rally from 375 to 420 came when the USDA gave us a 2-bushel reduction in our January crop report. We've really traded within that trading range. That day we rallied corn 45 cents through the synthetics. And we've really traded in that trading range up until just the last 2 days when we broke out of it to the topside. The corn market getting above 420 opens the door to a $5, 550 corn board. Now, I think we're getting there a little too early. And if you go back and look at the way the corn market traded in 2004.
You need to wrap up.
We rallied.
Go ahead. Finish your thought, and then we're done.
We rallied right up into that March outlook meeting and that March acreage estimate, and then fell off the tabletop. And I think we're getting that way, ahead of ourselves that way this year.
Roy, we appreciate you being with us.
I enjoyed it, guys.
Roy Huckabee is with the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois. A very quick final word from our panelist in studio, Clayton Pope.
I think you got to take some steps at protecting these levels, but you have to do it conservatively and in a way that you can calculate the risk on being wrong.
I agree totally with Clayton.
And that's Matt Bennett and Chuck Shelby.
Lots of variables, unknowns yet. So again, as the other guys have said, use those tools out there. They're certainly available at a really reasonable cost.
That wraps up this week's Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind. Come visit us Tuesday at the Beef House. Starts at 7:30 a.m. Central Time for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good week.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then on agriculture.